So, Jasmine, did you dress up for Halloween?
I did, but did not.
And with that, three. I don't know what the hell that means. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Whoa, ho! And welcome to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode posted at WGNplus.com. And of course, don't forget my landing page, where all previous podcasts can be heard and enjoyed at your leisure. Episode 77, which means that there are 76 podcasts living on that landing page. I have officially ordained myself binge-worthy, so by all means, go to the landing page and go crazy and listen to those old podcasts. Number 77. Even though we are a couple of weeks away from Halloween, I have to mention this because for those who have listened over the years, and you certainly are maybe aware of my Halloween policy, but for those who maybe haven't heard me in a previous life and are just tuning into the podcast here and getting their first fill of what an Elton Jim is, then I think it is my responsibility to, in this age of transparency. And I am the most transparent person of all. Even though I wear black all the time, which is an opaque color, I consider myself certainly transparent, which is an interesting dichotomy. A guy who wears black all the time considers himself transparent. How does that work? So I've always laid it on the line. I'm always very honest and always very revealing. I think that's what makes listening to the radio interesting. And so, as I revealed several years ago on the radio, I do not answer my door for Halloween trick-or-treaters. Do not. I think it is it's a very strange tradition in that a stranger is coming to your door and ringing your doorbell. You do not know who they are, where they're from. They are wearing a disguise as much as a criminal might, and you are freely opening the door to a stranger in a disguise, and you are trusting to the fact that all they want from you is a bite-sized Snickers as opposed to all your money and all your possessions. And so I do not answer the front door. Now, that may seem very extreme, may seem very untrusting, it may seem very odd, but did you ever think about it, about what you're doing when you, on Halloween, the doorbell rings and you don't even look through the shade? You just open your door and you're assuming there's going to be some nice little kiddies dressed up in, you know, spiders and witches and pirates and princesses, and aren't they cute? And but here's what happened. I used to be the first guy to open my door and give the trick-or-treaters their treats. I used to enjoy it. We used to have a big bowl of candy by the door, and we never dressed up. A lot of people sometimes even dress up as themselves to answer their door. But we certainly participated in the Halloween tradition. However, I would say about 10, 15 years ago, a weird dynamic was happening, which sort of soured me on the Halloween tradition. And I will tell you to the lengths, a little later here, to the lengths that I've gone, even just this year, to remain anonymous when it comes to trick-or-treating and opening the door. So about 10, 15 years ago, throughout in the neighborhood there, they say, you know, kids are going to come between 3 and 7. So that's kind of the trick-or-treating time. And so, okay. Now, half the time, in the afternoon, I wasn't home anyway, so it didn't really matter. So it was really kind of an hour and a half kind of tradition. So we would, as I said, we got into it. We would buy all the candy and have the big bowl and by the door, and the doorbell would ring, and how you doing? And my wife would go, and we would kind of look at the kids and everything, and it was all very fun and very neighborly. Well, one year, it's about 8:30, and the doorbell rings. And so it was just kind of strange because the doorbell had been ringing with a nice little frequency every, 5, 6, 7 minutes, ding dong, ding dong. And then at 7 or 7:15, it kind of stopped, and that was when the neighborhood decided that they were going to stop, the trick-or-treating. And I even think that this was long ago before they even delayed daylight saving. Because you remember, we used to change the clocks and fall back like the week before Halloween. And it used to be very dark. And so that was one reason why they said they were going to push that back a week to at least have the trick-or-treaters have a little more daylight before they trick-or-treated, before it got too dark. So anyway, it was about 8:15, an hour after, and I opened the door. I thought it was a little strange, but it didn't matter. I opened the door, and there are these two teenagers, these two young toughs, who were not in any kind of costume. And I didn't open the screen. I didn't open the storm door. I just opened the main door. And they looked at me. They had zero costumes. They didn't have, the nice little plastic pumpkin that you buy at Walgreens that you put your stuff in. They just had like a paper bag, not even with any kind of handles on it, like from Whole Foods or something. There was just this paper bag. And I opened the door and I looked at them. And there were these young toughs, and they were probably in their teens, but to me they were young toughs. And they looked at me, and one of them just looked at me and said, "You got any?" "You got any?" I didn't know what he was. I didn't know if it was a drug deal or he wanted a treat. I don't know if he wanted heroin or a Snickers. And so I was like, kind of taken aback at this, and I opened the door. I just opened the door slightly and stuck my hand out, and I gave him some candy. And I'm like, first of all, they looked like they were 18 years old. If you're 18, you don't go trick-or-treating. And if you're going to go trick-or-treating, how about something for the effort? Throw on some makeup. Put on a wig. Don't just come to my house like you're going to rob me and then say, "You got any?" So I just put my hand out the thing, gave it, and then closed the door. And I turned to my wife and I said, "I don't know what just happened here, but, it dawned on me that I just opened my door freely to somebody that possibly, how do I know if somebody has a gun? I mean, let's face it here. We're living in a society where, don't forget, if you are a ne'er-do-well, if you are a young tough, the goal is to catch people off guard. How many times do you hear about people on their cell phone at a subway and they're robbed because they're not thinking about anybody doing that? That's what a robber is looking for. He's looking for you to be off guard. And so, as kind of grinchy as it might be, Halloween, if you're a ne'er-do-well, if you're a robber, my gosh, People are opening the door willy-nilly to anyone who rings the doorbell. Think about that. I mean, you know, certainly there's this utopian view of, oh, it's so nice. And the kid, and yes, 99.9% of the time, the social contract that we have on Halloween of the little kids ringing the doorbell and the people inside giving the, it is fulfilled. And it is a, it's a warming and it's a nice experience. But what if you're that 0.1%? So yeah, I guess I'm overreacting, but it just hit me like I'm open. So then, but that was it. So I said, okay, I'm not going to let one bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl, as the Osmond brothers once sang. So the next year I said, okay, I actually put that out of my mind. Okay, that was just, you know, one incident. I'm not going to spoil a tradition on just one, you know, random incident, right? So the next year, buy the big bowl, have the candy, ding dong, 3 to 7, kids are coming. But I notice amongst the kids, there are more of these teenagers, these young toughs, if you will, who are not even dressed, and they're either, I mean, they're not out to rob me. I understand that. But my point is, if you're 15 or 16 or 17, your trick-or-treating days are over. And if you're going to live some Peter Pan existence and want to continue that, then as I said, part of the social contract of the trick-or-treating of the Halloween tradition is that I give you candy because you're dressed up in a costume. If you're just getting out of school and you don't want to go to 7-Eleven and buy your own Snickers bar or your own Kit Kat for 89 cents one day a year, and you say, hey, here's my windfall, I can get free candy just because, and I'm standing amongst little 7-year-olds who are all cute and all fun and having fun, and here you are with your jeans and your backpack and your flannel. And I'm like, so once again, now this next year, I'm noticing amongst the little cute little trick-or-treaters, I'm getting more teenagers who aren't dressed and are just kind of taking advantage of the free food. And once again, I wish I was lying, but I'm not. I answer the door one time, and there's these two kids that were way too old to be trick-or-treating. And I'm sort of taken aback because now I've been in the mood. There's all these little kids, and there's little princesses and devils and, you know, Princess Jasmine's and everyone else coming to my door, and little mermaids and Batman and all that. And then there's these two young toughs, and I open my door because I'm in the swing now of ding dong. Yeah, what do you need? Her trick or treat. Oh, aren't you cute? And then I'm opening the door and I'm confronted by these two kind of tough looking teenagers, different guys. And then this guy says, the year before, the guy says, you got any? Which kind of was, you know, a little taken aback. This guy says, you doing it? You doing it? Once again, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. So I throw him a couple of Reese's peanut butter cups. I slam, I locked the door, and I told my wife, I got news for you. I'm done. I'm not answering this door anymore. If you want to do this, that's fine. But I'm done answering this door. This is ridiculous. I mean, think about what we're doing. I don't know. What if somebody's sitting there on the other side of the door I don't see, and once again, I'm maybe overly paranoid, but in these days, look what just happened in New York. Some people are just jogging or walking around in a car. Who knows what's going to go on now? Now, this was 15 years ago. This was when, you know, terrorism wasn't a regular part of our lives. And certainly, I was around 9/11 had just happened. But anyway, my point is, maybe I'm being a little over guarded, but you know, these two incidents, sadly, and I'll admit it, I might be overreacting, but they did sadly sour me on the Halloween tradition. And so for the last several years, I have not opened the door. And so now we like to, decorate, not go crazy on the outside. I mean, sometimes we'll just put a few uncarved pumpkins out on the stoop, you know, and of course the squirrels start to bite those up, but still, to give the house a little, the outdoor look, just a little of the Halloween spirit. But then I was told by people that, well, if you decorate the outside of your house for Halloween, that's kind of a signal or a sign to the trick-or-treaters that you are open for business in terms of the trick or the treat. So, like I said, for a couple of years, I put out, we had some pumpkins out there, and then people said, well, that's not right. You shouldn't do that, because if you're not going to answer the door, you shouldn't sort of invite them by showing that you're into the Halloween spirit. Okay, I sort of bought that argument. So now the last several years, no, we decorate inside the house. We have a few little things here and there. Halloween. This year I went to Target. I bought a nice skeleton hand, put that on the mantle by the fireplace. We have some few little other things are scattered around the house. Nothing crazy. No spider webs, because those are too messy. But, you know, a little pumpkin here, little light-up jack-o'-lantern there, a couple little dolls here, little Jack Skellingtons here and there, you know, just to spice it up. Pumpkin spice. Oh, love pumpkin spice. Anyway, so this year, so basically now what's happened is, I don't know if we are the official Grinches, I don't know, does Halloween have a Grinch name? I don't know. But whatever the Halloween Grinch might be, I guess that's what I am. So this year, I was home in the afternoon, and sure enough, 20 minutes after 3, ding dong, bells start ringing. So now I am in the house, and it's still light out. So I have no lights on. I have all the shades closed, so no one could look in. There's a shade on the front door window. And I am not opening the door for any trick-or-treaters. So I even turned the volume down on the television so that they couldn't hear the television from the front door to think I was home. I want no trace that I'm home when the trick-or-treaters ring the doorbell. To the extent that, so now it's about 6. And I was going out, and so I was going to shave and take a shower. And I had to shave and take a shower in the dark because I didn't want to turn the bathroom light on upstairs in the shower, because then the kids outside would see that someone was home and they would expect me to give them candy for Halloween. So I showered with a nightlight in the bathroom, and I shaved in the kitchen sink in the kitchen, which is in the back, so that there would be no trace that I was home. And so when the trick-or-treaters came in, the house looked dark, and I could not. Now, I had a very surprised guest walk in here.
It's like when Bob Hope would walk out on Johnny
Carson. Hey!
I just came in. I'm walking
down
the hallway.
It's my good friend, Dean Richards.
Hey, it's my good friend, Elton Jim Toronto.
Hey, Dean, you have a special on WGN you want to promote?
I'm doing it. Hey, I just want to say, hey, you're great. I just want to say you guys are great.
Dean, I understand you have to leave. You have to leave early.
Not until I tell you how weird you sound. Because I'm walking down the hall. We just finished doing...
Yeah, why are you here?
I was doing an interview that will be on my Sunday show.
Oh, very nice.
You know, Lydia Bastianich?
Yes.
I love her. Love Lydia.
I love Lydia. Lydia's table.
I hate saying it to
her. Was she here or just on the phone?
No, she was on the phone.
I love Lydia.
She's going to be in town next week, though. That's what we were talking
Italy.
About.
But she owns Italy.
Yeah, she's going to be there on the 8th. November 8th, she's going to be in Italy. And on the 9th, she's going to be at College of DuPage at the Mackinac Arts Center doing like an evening with Lydia.
Wow.
That's what we were talking
Lydia,
about.
Lydia, oh, Lydia.
But I love her, and I hate saying Lydia. This to her because I'm afraid it's going to make her feel old, but she is my grandmother.
Oh,
her demeanor.
Oh, definitely.
Everything. Yeah. I've interviewed her a couple of times, and honestly, a couple of times I thought she was going to whack me with a wooden spoon, like my grandmother.
You know what I love about Lydia too? When she cooks, her hands.
Yeah.
She's got good peasant stock hands.
Oh yeah.
You see those fingers?
Yeah.
Those fingers like little sausages when she's kneading that dough.
She told the story of her growing up.
Yeah.
In Italy that got taken over. And they were sent to another country as refugees. I never knew this whole story about her.
No.
And working on a farm with her grandmother, that's why she's got those pork sausage fingers. bigger.
And I didn't even know. The first time I ever went to New York was like 25, 27 years ago. She had a restaurant back then called Bacco or something like that. On restaurant back then, it was called Restaurant Row. There was a part of New York was called Restaurant Row. And I didn't even know that that was her first restaurant, even before she was on TV.
Quite a story.
Yeah.
Quite a story.
I love Lydia.
When does this little podcast of yours, is this on?
This little podcast.
Is this on now?
This is recorded.
Are we live now?
No, we are not live. So you could swear.
Will this be on?
This will post every Monday.
When will this post?
This will post.
So my Lydia interview will have already taken place
then.
Yeah,
it will. But it's still interesting.
Oh, what the hell did I come here to plug the Lydia interview for? I get a little free pub.
Sorry,
the
Bob.
Reason that I came in is I'm out in the hallway. We're wrapping up. We're wrapping things up, and I hear you saying you're in your house in the dark. And you were shaving in the dark.
Shaving
because
and showering.
You don't want kids to know that you're home.
Right.
Because you're too cheap to give out candy.
It's not cheap. As I told the story before, I've had young toughs come to my door and say, got any? Not even dressed up in a costume. Just, I'm sitting there going, this whole concept of Halloween is really scary that you think you are freely, willy-nilly opening your door to complete strangers in disguises.
So you are in your house in the dark.
Hiding.
Who's the normal one here? I think the kids coming from door to door with no costumes, they may be the same ones here.
All the shades were closed.
That's so crazy.
As I said, I turned the volume down on the television in the front room so they wouldn't.
Jim's sitting in the bathroom with a coal miner's hat on.
I was
trying to read a Reader's Digest magazine with a coal miner's hat.
I took a shower in the bathroom with a nightlight.
That's so crazy.
And then the best part is my wife came home, and it was about 6:30 because they said in the neighborhood from 3 to 7 is when everybody is going to. Yeah. And so it was about 6:35, and she gets home, and she goes upstairs to change. And I go, hey, I hope you don't have the bedroom light on while you're changing.
Nice.
Because the kids outside are going to see them.
Do you think that they're standing across the street like with night vision glasses waiting to see?
Well, all I know is if I was trick-or-treating with my bag, I would look at the house. And I would assess the house and say, is someone home? Now, if I see a bathroom light or a bedroom light upstairs, that's not a light that someone would say, well, I'm going to turn out a lamp to make it look like I'm home. If there's a bedroom light or you see lights clicking on and off, you know that someone's home. So you go, ho, ho.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to apologize. on the radio, there's no warning. The radio's there, and Jim pops up and this kind of thing happens. You have made the choice to come to this podcast.
That's true, right, exactly.
I'm apologizing because it's nutty.
No,
but I'm going to say, for those of you listening to this, you knew what you were getting when you when you clicked in or whatever, however you kids call it.
Well, that's the charm of an Elton Jim. The quirkiness. Quirky. Well, you are quirky. I'll give you quirky.
I have to go because George Goebel's waiting to get on.
Dean, I understand you've got to leave.
George Goebel and Phyllis Diller are waiting to get on.
But I want to thank you for coming on. Once again, when is that Lydia?
Just want to mention, the Lydia interview was yesterday by the time this gets posted. But next Sunday here on WGN Radio, we're going to be live at Tree Time Christmas Creations.
Yes, on the 12th, November 12th.
Lake Barrington. And if you're a fan of Jim Toronto, why don't you turn a nightlight on in your house for a second and get a pencil and write this down that Jim is going to be on the full Sunday show.
Yes.
He's going to be with us the full Sunday show.
At Tree Time.
And we're going to have a lot of fun. Oh, We've got a couple of things already planned, some special guests. Jim came up with a great idea of playing Password, because we had fun doing that the last time you were on the show.
Holiday Password.
Yeah, but we brought up this past Sunday, I don't know how we got on the subject of talking about melon.
Yeah, I saw that.
And
I saw that on your email.
Yeah, I was.
Pick a melon?
No, we're going to do a feature called Know Your Melons.
Know Your Melons.
Know Your Melons. Because I think I know quite a bit about melons and choosing melons. I thought it would be very informative.
Well, it's...
But as I was walking here to Tribune Tower today, I saw some people eating peanuts in a shell. And I thought, what a great feature it would be. Know your nuts.
Know your nuts and your melons. There's few of us that know both nuts and melons.
We'll find.
Because in today's world, it's diversity. You need to know your nuts as well as your melons.
Most people are specialists. Right?
Yeah, some people just like nuts.
They don't know their melons from their nuts.
No, I'm very diverse.
As it turns out.
I'm open to all nuts.
Well, you'll probably do really well in this because I'm going to have a variety of melons to see if you can...
This week or at the show?
No, at the Tree Time.
Oh, that's going to be great. Yeah.
A variety of melons to see if people can determine which melons are which.
Will you throw in a curveball and throw in a gourd?
No
gourds?
No, I won't. No, this is strictly melons. And then we'll do the same thing with nuts.
Like a filbert?
Filbert.
A pistachio.
Maybe a Brazil nut.
A Brazilian. A macadamia.
No, we're not going to be doing Brazilians.
No. Wow. Yeah, because this is radio. You could do that on the TV show.
Yeah, you don't want to get that in your Christmas tree.
Although it could be. That scratching sound would be good for the radio.
But there's...
So guess your melons.
Know
your melons and know your nuts. Know your nuts really sounds good. I mean, that really flows.
Okay.
Mix your melons and know your nuts.
Again,
I can't wait I'm even more excited to come to your show.
Sunday, November
12th. I can't wait to know my nuts.
I'm warning you, some of you are going to be coming out of church right when we're doing
Know
Your
Nuts.
Like
when we're going, this is a filbert. This is a hazel.
You're stuck on the filbert.
I do like filbert.
Yeah.
But
I enjoy a Brazil nut.
Would you have a nice honeydew?
Well, we will have honeydews, cassavas.
Oh, cassava melon.
Musk. We'll have musk.
What? Musk?
Musk melons.
I obviously don't know my...
You don't know your melons.
I seem to know my nuts better than I know my melons. Who knew? See, I learned so much.
I don't think anyone's
here.
Too surprised to hear that from you. Hey, but listen, Dean Martin's coming up.
Okay.
I'm going to be in Vegas.
Thank you, Dean.
Frank and Bob Hope.
Well, I got to say, this was a surprise that you came in.
This was. I totally barged in.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen you here.
You were pontificating. Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome. I saved you from about 10 minutes of talk of Jim sitting alone in the dark.
Well, then the best part
trying
was
to give him trying to well, clip
I'm just,
his toenails.
I'm just sorry.
To a nightlight.
I'm sorry, but these two young toughs came to my door and scared the hell out of me. Hey, you doing it? One was, you got any? And the other one was, you doing it? You doing it? I don't know, to give him heroin or a Snickers.
Oh, that's nice.
You know. And so I was like, I said, this is it. I'm done. So now I don't know what the...
He sits in the dark.
The Halloween equivalent of a Grinch is, but I guess I'm the Great Pumpkin. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Do you answer the door?
Of course.
Really?
Why wouldn't you?
Think about that. You're opening the door to a complete stranger. Look at the trust that you're showing.
What do you think? Who's going to be out there?
Young Tufts.
Al Capone?
Young Tufts.
What do you think's going to happen?
Young Tufts.
Where do you live? Do you live at Stateville Prison? They're not even open anymore. But you would live there because you could save $12 a month on electricity. Right, that's right.
It was so funny. When I was taking a shower in the dark, I was actually laughing at myself going, this is, yeah. I have really taken
good.
This now
good.
To another. I mean, at least, isn't at least the sign of mental health that you know you're crazy.
Yeah. Awareness is half
yeah.
the battle.
So that's at yeah, least, awareness at is least half I'm not doing it completely
well, good.
Oblivious
well,
to the
good.
Fact.
We're on step three, then. Yeah. That's good.
Wait, you can't wait till number nine, making amends. But no, so I'm sorry, but I don't feel bad about not answering the door. In fact, I had to go, I had to drive out of my house at around 6. And my God, the streets, I'm like, where are all these
did
damn
you,
kids from?
Did you?
I knocked off a couple of ghosts.
Did you have one of those, you know, like a bush that you could stand behind and walk?
I hit it on my car.
Like Wile E. Coyote did?
Yeah, like Barney Fife on an Andy Griffith. He had his motor scooter filled with shrubs.
Do you have a guest waiting on the phone?
Yeah, a little. Yeah, but it's no big.
I see somebody waiting.
Yeah. We do a little pop culture segment.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole thing. I've done 77 of these.
Really?
You clearly haven't listened to
one.
This
is the first time I've heard it. It's by accident that I heard it.
Well, you right now, then, with you, there's two people that listen.
Right. I'm not saying I'm going to listen again, but
you
I
know
did hear
you know, it. You know what's great? You always tell the story, Dean, how when you were a little kid, you had your own radio station in your basement.
That's right.
Okay, that's what I'm doing right here. I'm reaching about the same amount of people.
Oh, we actually had a transmitter. I think I had more listeners. I had like 10 people listening back then.
Well,
all right. Well,
thank
hey,
you for stopping
hey, this
in.
This has been great.
It has.
This has been fantastic.
Thank you, Dean, for coming in. And I understand you have to leave you and your wife Barbara.
Well, we're taping a special down the hall.
You're right.
I'm guest starring on CPO Sharky.
You did. Who the hell broke my cigarette case? Wow, are we getting
inside humor? Okay.
Yeah, we're getting inside. All well, right. Yeah, but November 12th, Jim and Dean having fun at Tree Time. I love going to Tree
Christmas
Time and
Creations. Jim will be wearing his Santa coat.
I got my Santa coat. In fact, my wife said, "Did you wash that yet?"
Yeah.
I've never washed it in 12 years.
I did want to ask.
I think I might, but I'm afraid that it'll fall apart. I don't know how well it's.
You know the dry cleaners.
I know, but do you think can they ruin it?
No.
Because I do have to at least, the white fluff on the sleeves is not fluffy and or white.
Well,
it's kind of grayish and matted. It's like a feral cat.
Yeah. Well, you know, the money that you saved in electricity the other day.
I think I'll
maybe go out and buy a new Santa
coat.
Maybe,
no, what's oh, it's a nice coat though. Is that nice? Although I have to say, are you going to bring your Santa hat?
Because
you've got.
I do have a good Santa.
God, is that a great Santa hat?
Yeah, I do have a good Santa.
I've got a better one than I used to, but man,
not like mine.
No, that is a great hat. You won't tell me where you got it, or you don't remember where you got it.
Okay. Let's go with that.
Are you going to do the other Christmas show like you did?
Which other
Christmas? Remember the last year there was kind of two. There was the
Tree
Time
one.
Oh,
we did one out of Paramount.
Are you going to do
also.
That one
we're
again?
Not, I don't think we're doing that.
Well, then
year.
We have to do the 12 Days of Christmas again. Because that's
or at least replay it.
Yeah, well, I think we should do it for another audience that hasn't seen it. Because that's a perennial.
It was classic last year.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear it, search around for it.
Yeah.
You know, you people, you're on the internet right now.
You can search anywhere.
If you're listening to Jim's podcast, clearly you have nothing else to do.
Yeah, just click off and go and find the Dean's 12 Days of Christmas. I actually did put that up on the internet.
It was pretty funny. All right.
Well, thank you for stopping in, Dean.
This has been great. Let's do this again sometime.
How about November 12th?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I mean. You didn't think I was actually going to stop in here again.
I don't think, yeah. Dean's like, wow, I'm slumming as it is.
Are you kidding me? I've got things to do. I've got a nap to take.
I was just going to say, what are you doing
I've
up?
I've got to take a nap.
When do you go to bed?
I'm going to go home and take a nap
like,
right now.
Will you nap or you won't sleep out?
No, I mean, I have to take a nap because I've been going since 3 o'clock this morning.
Wow.
This is what I did today. I did the TV morning show.
Which you do every
Chicago's
day.
Number one TV morning
he
news.
He likes to say that.
WGN morning news.
Right. Is that number one?
It is. and then from there, I went and interviewed Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Really?
He's in town.
Hamilton himself?
Hamilton himself.
Why is he here?
He's in town. He was over at the National Museum of Puerto Rican Arts and Culture, raising awareness for Puerto Rican hurricane relief.
And redesigning the $10 bill.
And we had a lovely conversation with him. And then I went over to a very swanky hotel here downtown.
for a quickie.
And
for a nooner.
Gary Oldman was there.
Really?
Gary Oldman.
One of my favorite actors.
Who I'm betting you is going to win an Academy Award this year.
For?
He's got a new movie that's called The Darkest Hour, in which he plays Winston Churchill.
Oh, wow.
He's amazing in this
he
movie.
Plays Churchill.
It's an amazing movie. He's amazing. It's his time. He's going to win an Oscar
he does.
For this movie.
He deserves one.
So I interviewed Gary Oldman.
Very cool.
And then came back here, interviewed Lydia Bastianich.
What a day. And then you
and then I hear your crazy talk out
then
in the hallway.
The cherry on the sundae. You walk in
right.
And here it is.
And here I am on Jim's podcast.
What a way. You better go to sleep.
My life is great, isn't it?
Well, it started so cool in the morning.
Right.
And it seemed at the end it's
pretty much been a toboggan ride during the day.
Died out.
Right.
But when will you actually go to sleep? Like when you will actually say, I will not wake up until?
Probably 8 or 9 o'clock.
Really? So you'll take a nap?
You know what? I'm probably going to watch the World Series game.
Oh, my gosh. What a great
game. I got to watch the game tonight. This is killing me this week.
This is a great
I've been staying up watching the game,
it's
for which I really I have no interest.
No, but it's just great to watch.
It's amazing baseball.
Yeah, this is one of the best ever. Definitely. Yeah.
And I love, this is my favorite thing in the World Series. Yeah, the baseball on the field is fine. My main activity.
I know.
Watching Larry King.
I know what you're going to say.
It's watching Larry King behind home plate.
Yeah, talk to Mary Hart, who doesn't want to talk to him. You notice how she's every so often she sits next to him.
Yeah.
But then sometimes she's two or three seats down.
She was like two or three seats away last night.
Yeah. She's like, I can't talk to Larry.
Right. And he had like a big winter parka on,
and that bad hat,
and he has the Brooklyn hat.
Oh, here's my thing. I don't want to, and I don't want to get
the
too
Dodgers
much.
Up yet. I gotta go to the toilet.
I remember Sandy Koufax, who's at the game and doesn't even talk to
you. Hello, you're on there.
Hello, baseball. But here's the best part. This is the way my mind thinks. I believe there's something wrong in Larry King's personal life because he's got two sons, and he hasn't taken one of those kids to the World Series to sit in those amazing seats. So I got to think that Larry's not even living at home anymore. What do you think of that?
I don't know.
I'm just saying. I mean, if you were, because you always talk about these kids are baseball players or Dodger fans. They haven't been in the World Series in 30-some years. And there's Larry.
It would seem like you might bring your kids to something.
So I'm just thinking, you know. But the best is, there's Larry. He hasn't been on real television this much in 15 years since CNN kicked him off.
That is true.
And now he's on. I mean, you know, he knows he's on. Every pitch. He's like the guy at the Cub game with the pink hat.
If you're a celebrity at the Dodgers game, you know you're going to be on camera. Like Jason Bateman.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he knew
He's hamming it up the whole night.
Well, tonight is game 7, even though by the time this
they're gonna
this
be
post.
Crawling all over
the place. Now the bandwagon has just pulled up on La Cienega. And they're all jumping on to go to Chavez
Ravine.
They're
all getting on the double-decker bus.
Yes, without a doubt. Anybody who's a celebrity will be seen at that game.
Well, this has been great.
Thank you, Dean. I always love doing radio with Dean.
Fun.
It's always fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
Always fun.
So what's coming up next?
Well, I was...
commercials on this?
No, that's what's great. I get to talk for a whole hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes I even go over.
I'm only here like 10 minutes and I'm exhausted.
I have to go
to the bathroom.
Well, I was going to tell the story. Maybe I'll save the story how yesterday in the dark.
Naturally.
So I had a hooded sweatshirt on, right? And I had worn it like the day before. And I was just going to do run out real quick. I wasn't going to go where there were people.
Were you going to like spray some of that Glade deodorant?
No, that's my Cashmere Woods. That's my Glade. But I was going to just give me a spritz of a little Febreze, you know. You know, around the pits.
Okay.
You know. So it's in the lower cabinet under the sink.
The Febreze?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's dark because I don't want to have the light on in the kitchen. I just have the light over the sink. And I go in, I go into the thing, and I grab the cabinet. I grab the bottle, and I'm not really looking at it. And I start just spritzing myself in front of me. And I look, and it's the Mr. Clean.
Oh, good!
So I'm spraying this.
Oh, nice.
This very
even more disinfectant.
Yeah, now I smelled really clean. But it just was like
nothing better than a stinky guy who is like put on some Febreze or Mr. Clean.
And a quick spritz of
thinking that somehow that smells great.
Well, it smelled better than what it smelled like before.
I know you probably didn't want to turn the water pressure on in case some of the hoodlums in your neighborhood were checking your water pressure.
Right. Hey, all of a sudden, they saw that little thing spinning. Hey, right. there's water and
somebody's
electricity.
Home.
There's electricity going out of that house.
Somebody's home. Well, this has been great.
Thank you, Dean. So much.
What's coming up next?
Oh, we're going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
This is weird that you don't have like a commercial.
No, in fact,
transition.
No. In fact, you know what?
Here,
listen to how I transition. And so, and then Dean Richards, we say good. Now stay, but I'll just pretend. And so, thank you, Dean.
Oh. So then, this is like Chicago Tonight.
So then I let this music. Exactly.
This is like Chicago Tonight.
I get up.
Phil Ponce moves to a different table.
I get up. I go to another microphone. And then I come back and I go, and now we're back.
Oh, look at that.
It's Elton Jim Toronto here at WGN Plus. And then I go to my my next segment. So I have a little transition.
Your next guest who's been waiting for
25 Emily.
Minutes.
Yeah, but that's fine because who cares?
Don't blame me, Emily.
There's no clock here. What's the difference?
Don't blame me, Emily, is all I can say. He could have gone to you like 15 minutes ago.
Hey, Emily, say hi to Dean.
Hey. Hi, Dean.
Yeah, Emily's like, how the hell do I get out of here?
She's sitting there going, Jesus Christ. Is this guy a media whore or what? He's on television 5 hours in the morning, and
Emily,
now he's taking my time up?
I would have pretended like the phone line went out and hung up a long time ago if it was me.
My God, he's taking up my time.
But I am
going to... I have nothing better to do.
I am going to leave, though. So what's your... You got your little transition music, and I'll leave now?
Oh, you want to do your walk-out music? Play that again there, Jasmine. Can you strike that up? There we go. Well, thank you, Dean, for coming on. And we'll talk to you soon. That's Dean Richards, well-known personality at WGN Television. I believe it's the number one morning show. Is that true, Dean?
I've already left.
Oh, have you left? Okay.
I've already left. The theater of the mind. I'm
theater
already
of the
gone.
Mind. Well, I think, Dean, if Dean were here, he would have said that he's on WGN TV morning news every morning.
Of course it's number one. But I'm already gone.
He's gone. I'm left. Now you're officially
Dean
gone.
Has left the building.
Dean has left the building. Oh, yeah, it's very professional here, as you could tell.
Thank you, Dean, for coming in and stopping by. I understand you've got to go tonight. You've got a very a fundraiser.
Nice bag. I like that bag. It's a nice bag.
I'm gone.
I still see you. I'm pretending I'm looking at you through the window.
I'm gone.
Take it easy. So, Emily Arminetti, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, we had a little fun. I was just doing my podcast here, talking to myself, as usual.
Yeah.
And then Dean sort of walked in down the hallway and heard me talking about my my Halloween tradition of not answering the door. Do you answer the door for trick-or-treaters?
Well, I'm out trick-or-treating.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. So what were your kids dressed up as this year?
Well, James dressed as a guy named Steve from Minecraft. So
what?
Don't play Minecraft. You have no idea what that
What
is.
Are you? What?
It's a video game. It's like a video game.
Oh, my God. I feel 300 years old.
I know.
Minecraft. You mean kids?
Minecraft.
Are you M-I-N-G? M-I-N-D?
No, it's M-I-N-E.
Oh, Minecraft.
They, like, go down and, yeah.
Oh, in a mine.
It's hard to explain. Yeah, they play, it's like you build things and you break bricks and you mine and you, I don't know. It's supposed to be educational. and also
fun.
That's very the reason I really let him play it.
You know what's so weird,
yeah,
though,
so
is...
Steve.
Yeah, what was your daughter then?
Well, she was a pumpkin, which was her choice. I was hoping for something more original, but she's old enough now to have an opinion, so I tried to influence that a bit, because I was like, oh, pumpkin doesn't seem very original, but anyway.
Wow, yeah, well, yeah, so what next year, will she be a princess?
Oh, gosh, who knows?
And the devil? I mean, she might as well go through every cliche.
Well, that's me. I'm the devil. I have my sequin devil horns that I wear every year. I'm wearing them every year.
Look at you. Yeah. Grrr. Yeah. You're trying to be Catwoman.
Yeah. I know. I'm getting too old for that. I'm aging out of the devil horns.
You got to wear a bonnet next year.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. So you are out actually trick-or-treating. So you would be, if you lived here in the Chicago area, if you came to my house, you'd be some of the, one of the people that I would not answer the door for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. You're like, are you also shouting at people, get off my lawn?
No. I can't do that. I have to pretend like I'm not home.
Why so grumpy?
No. I have to pretend like I'm not home You didn't hear it.
You can't just open the door
no.
and throw some, snack size candies, fun
no.
size.
That's it's not about, as I said earlier in the show, the reason why is there were teenagers coming to my house with no costumes and just expecting free food. And I'm like, no, there's a social contract here and you're breaking it. And you are ruining it now for all the little devils and Minecrafts out there that I would have usually given a nice little bite-sized Snickers or Three Musketeers to, but these young toughs that come to the door and scare me, they ruined it for everybody. So as I said to Dean and to the audience here, I go to such an extreme to show, make it look like I'm not home since I won't answer the door that yesterday at around 6 o'clock, I took a shower in the dark so that I wouldn't turn the bathroom light on. And they wouldn't see that there was a light on in my house upstairs. Because if it went on and off, they'd know I was home. So I showered by nightlight.
Well, you know, I don't think you have to take it that far. Typically, if a house does not have their outside lights on, we don't approach.
Well, here's the problem, though. I've got a... here's the thing. I've got a motion detector light that goes on.
It turns on.
Even when you're walking by, it'll go on. So that's where I should probably turn.
Now you have to hide.
Yeah, so I have to hide. I have all the shades down. I turn the television down very low. And
do you army crawl from room to room?
I swear to God.
And is Jamie with you in this?
When she came home from work, she went upstairs, and all of a sudden it dawned on me because I realized that she was upstairs changing, and I was like, "Hey, you don't have the bedroom light on, I hope." Because if they see lights going on and off in different rooms, they'll certainly know we're home, and then they'll be expecting the food.
It's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Well, I think
I read that there's a Canadian town that's going to ban teens from over the age of 16 from trick-or-treating, which I thought was kind of sad, but then at the same time, it's exactly that.
Thank you.
They're doing it.
That is exactly it. If you are, I said that at the beginning of the show. If you are over 15 or 16 or 17, your trick-or-treating days are done. You have to actually go to 7-Eleven and buy candy. You don't get free candy. And if you are going to come, at least give me something for the effort. Throw on a wig. Put on a little makeup. But don't just show up like I'm playing a young tough and scaring the heck out of me.
They could just throw like a sheet over their head.
I got a rock. Anything. So anyway.
Yeah.
Well, next year let's work on your daughter's costume. My goodness.
I know.
Pumpkin.
I know. We will. We'll bring. Ugh. We'll see. Boy. I tried.
Man, she's going to be a little tough cookie to handle. I'm a pumpkin.
Let me tell you. Yeah.
I'm a pumpkin and tough to you.
That's right. If you think I'm feisty, she is like double dose.
Wonder where she gets
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
So
I know, right?
So I wanted to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and every year it's always kind of an interesting debate to go. They list about 19 or 20 initial nominees, and those will be whittled down into five or six or seven. I don't think they really have a set number of inductees that they induct every year.
Right.
But it's always kind of fun to play this game because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which has been around since 1986, has certainly gone through some different transitions in the kinds of artists that have been who either have been welcomed in or who have still been not welcomed in. And some of those that you would think should be in are not in. And then some artists, even from now, different genres of music seem to be sneaking in, which has caused a little controversy as well. So I wanted to talk about some of the names this year that are up for nomination, as well as you know, some of the overall arching things about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And my view is, I think it's time that we either rename it or it's time for some new Hall of Fames, because it seems like it's getting diluted. But let's go first things first. So the nominees are, and I would have to think that you got to, you coming, you grew up, you sort of came of age in the, you were in the 80s, right? And,
yeah.
And 90s in terms of your musical.
80s and 90s.
Yeah. So I would think that this is a pretty, you've got to be pretty happy about these nominees. Radiohead, which I know is one of your favorite bands, is nominated. Nina Simone, the very controversial and but amazing vocalist and piano player, Nina Simone from the 50s and 60s. The Moody Blues, obviously, was a major progressive rock band in the 60s and 70s. Rage Against the Machine with Libertyville's own Tom Morello is up for the first time. Kate Bush, an English singer, not so big here, but in England, she's a goddess. I mean, she is a hero in there.
Yeah, she had a couple hits here.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands of all time, and I don't know if they'll get in, but I believe they deserve to, is Dire Straits. Eurythmics, one of the big, I love Annie Lennox, one of my favorite vocalists of all time. Jay Giles Band, Bon Jovi, Depeche Mode, another 80s band. The Cars, one of my favorites. The Meters, MC5, Chaka Khan, another Chicagoan. Actually was in a band with my uncle, who actually named the group Rufus. He was in the original Rufus. My uncle.
But,
my uncle.
But Rufus, is Rufus the band that's being Rufus?
No, it's Chaka. It's Chaka Khan is going in on her own.
Oh, it is? I thought it was Rufus.
It's Chaka Khan. The Zombies, who of course did The Time of the Season, and then Judas Priest, the heavy metal guys. Link Wray, who is a 1950s guitar player, was very influential in a lot of the music that you hear today. And as I said, I was talking to a friend of mine, I had never heard of Sister Rosetta Tharpe, but I have to say, I went online, and Sister Rosetta Tharpe was from the 30s and 40s, African-American woman. She could play guitar. You have to go on YouTube and look up Sister Rosetta Tharpe. This woman could sing and play guitar as well as Chuck Berry or any rock and roll innovator. She had an amazing voice, an amazing stage presence, and she could really shred that guitar. And I had never heard of her. It's my fault for not knowing who this is, but I am hoping that she gets in, because, my gosh, I'm sure that her gender and her race, sadly, prevented her from being more popular in the 40s and 30s and 40s and even 50s. But she definitely belongs in any kind of breath with the music that she was playing with Chuck Berry and Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis and all those initial pioneers. So that's kind of a monkey wrench one, or a wild card. We'll see, because I'm sure 95% of the people do not know who she is. But I would urge everybody who's listening to please look up Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Tharpe. Wow. So out of those nominees, who do you think's going to get in?
Oh, I mean, that's a really tough question, because it's hard for me to understand what the reasoning is for some of this. I mean, you could do all kinds of analysis. For example, I don't know why it took Chicago so long to finally get in, So I can't even try to get into the minds of the voters. So maybe I'm just going to say who I want to get.
Okay, well, that's a good idea. And I'll explain.
Right, should I do that?
And I'll explain to you why Chicago didn't get
in.
Wrong? Yeah.
Okay, great.
No. And I love Chicago, but I'll let you know the behind the scenes. Yeah, they are in now, but they should have been in many years before. But
a long time ago.
Like most Hall of Fames, there are politics involved, and I'll talk about that. But go on. Who do you think would you like to see in there?
Who I want. Yeah, this is who I want to see in there. Okay, so the Cars.
Really?
Yeah. Well, like you said, I was coming of age.
Yeah,
I love the Cars. So, yeah, the Cars. I was a big fan of the Cars, the Eurythmics.
Right.
Now, I was actually surprised that this is the first time the Eurythmics have been nominated, because they've been around. I mean, sure, they were probably eligible a while ago, don't you think?
Well, it's 25 years after their first song, so their first hit was in 83, so this might actually,
Feels like this is a long time coming, so I hope that they get in. Dire Straits, I'm also a huge fan of Dire Straits.
Yeah, good.
You are too.
Yeah.
Huge. I would like to see them get in. Radiohead, obviously, like you said, they're one of my favorite bands. So, and I actually think that they were the most important, influential band of the 1990s.
Wow!
Sure. I mean, they continue to be. But I would say when they were first coming up in the 90s, they were to me. I think that they really had a huge influence on
even more than Nirvana.
I wouldn't say more than Nirvana, but maybe in slightly different ways. I mean, Nirvana obviously was, one of they were kind of the founding fathers of grunge, or they were among the founding fathers of grunge. And they have already been inducted. In fact, I was there at the induction ceremony the year that Nirvana was inducted.
Oh, did you go? Yeah, those are fun to go to. Yeah, I've been to two of them. Now, where was the one that you were in? Was that at the Barclay Center?
I was at the Barclays Center. I was living in Brooklyn at the time, and it was actually a really interesting ceremony to be at, because there was, a lot of stuff going on. Like, so Nirvana was being inducted. Of course, Kurt Cobain is not around, so he had his mother and his sisters and Courtney Love were there to represent him. And, there's a lot of bad blood between Courtney Love and Dave Grohl.
Right.
And there still was at the time. And so there was this really awkward moment where when Courtney Love got up to spoke, she kind of said, well, I have this whole speech prepared, but I'm not really going to give it. And she said a few words. And then she kind of somehow ended up deciding to maybe bury the hatchet with him and sort of left the podium to go give him a hug. And it was very awkward. I guess it was a nice moment, but it was kind of strange.
Well, that's what's funny.
They were forced to be on stage together, and it was an important moment for the band.
Well, that's what's funny about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It really does in many ways brings back when some of these bands that have broken up many years since, and they were not, nice, amicable breakups, and many times, the band members haven't spoken to each other in 20 years and things like that. And in fact, when I went, I've been to two of them. Now I went to them back in the 90s when they were still in the ballroom of the Waldorf Astoria. It was much more intimate affairs, which were much cooler than just being in a giant stadium. But it's the same kind of thing. The first time that I went was in 1994. And just like you're saying, The big news out of that one, I went because Elton was being inducted, but the big news out of that rock and roll induction in 94 was that John Lennon, as a solo artist, was inducted, and Paul McCartney inducted him, gave the little speech. And at that evening, Yoko came to accept the award, obviously his wife, and Paul and Yoko hugged and kissed for the first time in 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And so that made major news. And so once again, it's like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, just like you're saying with Courtney Love and David Grohl. It seems like a lot of times the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is where a lot of these bands come together and bury the hatchet. And then there's other times where the band members will not show up.
They won't get on stage together.
Yeah, they will not get on stage because there are some weirdness that goes on. I even think that when the Beatles were inducted, I don't believe that George Harrison showed up because he was kind of feuding, right. I think, with Paul McCartney about something. So, yeah, it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has been kind of bathed in controversy since its beginnings because, and you might remember this, when it was first built and was first being brought up, now this is pre-internet, folks, to decide where to build the actual building, they had an 800 number lottery. And that's how they decided.
Really?
Yeah. They narrowed it down to five cities. I believe it was Cleveland, Memphis, Chicago, New York, and maybe Philadelphia. Or maybe LA. I'm not sure. I remember there was five cities that they felt would have been a good spot because of the history. Chicago, obviously, because of the Chicago Blues and the impact that the Chicago Blues had on the development of rock and roll. Cleveland was chosen because of its early adoption of rock and roll, playing it on the radio. And there was a disc jockey named Alan Freed who had one of the first rock and roll radio shows. And that's why Cleveland was on that list. And so what happened was that you had to call this 800 number and whoever got the most votes would win. Well, at that time in the 80s, Cleveland was going under a horrible time in its history. Economically, it was suffering. It had a horrible reputation. Its main river, the Cuyahoga River, was so polluted, it started on fire.
Oh, God.
This is no lie. So Cleveland had a major image problem, and so they felt that if they got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it would help to improve their image. And so the whole city got behind this, you know, all the TV stations and radio stations, and they kept telling people, you got to call in and call them, we got to win. And the other cities were interested, but they didn't really put on this full court press to win it. And so that's how Cleveland got it. That's why it's in Cleveland. It would make more sense if it was in a more, you know, tourist-friendly city like L.A. or Chicago or New York.
Right,
more people
right.
would see it, but that's why Cleveland got it. But so I'm sorry, go on. Any more? You said Eurythmics, Dire Straits.
Oh, yeah. So, So I had the Cars, the Eurythmics, Dire Straits, Radiohead. And then I would say, I mean, probably Rage Against the Machine. I'm a big fan of
really?
That. Maybe a little too early for that.
Yeah, I don't think they could be a first round or first ballot inductee.
Yeah, but you know what? But they're so different from, you know, a lot of stuff in rock and roll. I don't know. They just have their own unique sound, and I've always really liked them. Actually, the only time I've ever really thought I could maybe die at a concert was during Rage Against the Machine. But the irony is, it was the Tibetan Freedom concert.
Oh, nice.
So you would think it would be like, you know, like Pearl Jam was there and the Beastie Boys were there, and the Beastie Boys were like really involved in like organizing the Tibetan Freedom concert.
Right, right.
And they were all about like free Tibet at the time, but when Rage and I think Debbie Harry was there, but then Rage Against the Machine, when they got on stage, it was just like something changed in the audience.
Well,
and
their name is Rage.
It was really yes, and it was definitely the tension started to rise, and I was in the pavilion. I'm trying to remember where it was at. I want to say it was maybe at like Alpine Valley or something. So it was outdoor and I was in the pavilion seats, but the lawn just started to like surge forward. And I remember turning around, I was toward the back of the pavilion, and seeing security guards linking arms to keep the people on the lawn from rushing the pavilion. And I really thought like, oh, I might actually get trampled. Like,
oh,
I've never felt in danger at a show, but that was one. I mean, I still like Rage Against the Machine, and I survived, so, you know, it's a badge of honor, I guess. But, I would like to see them inducted. It's probably going to be too early for them. And then I would probably say maybe, like, LL Cool J and Nina Simone would be, like, my...
Okay, now here's... Okay. Yeah, now I would agree with many
here's
of your...
I'm wrong.
Now here's... I agree with many of your decisions. As I said, I believe that it might be too early for Rage Against the Machine. However, Tom Morello is very politically active. He's very well connected with the music scene, and especially a lot of the people that run that place, like Jan mm-hmm. Wenner of Rolling Stone and John Landau, who's Bruce Springsteen's manager. And Tom Morello has actually toured with Bruce Springsteen. So I wouldn't be surprised, because they like to, you know, they like to have a nice cross-section of older and current and, you know, more current bands, as well as, you know, some of the pioneers people. So that's why I wouldn't be surprised if this, like I said, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, even though no one knows who she is, I wouldn't be surprised. Nina Simone is another one that I wouldn't be surprised gets in. From a political standpoint, I wouldn't be surprised if Rage gets in. I think Radiohead has to get in just because they're, as you said, one of the biggest bands of the 90s. Some of the other bands, I mean, Link Ray is another guy. There's a song called Rumble, which you have heard. And go on the YouTube and hit Link Ray and hit Rumble, and you'll know that song. It was very influential in the guitar sound of rock and roll. I think it's too little too early for Depeche Mode. I don't know if they're Hall of Famers, mm-hmm. to be honest. Jay Giles Band. Jay Giles actually just died. The guy, even though Peter Wolf is the lead singer, there was a Jay Giles, so who knows if that plays in for them. I don't believe Bon Jovi belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I know he sounds.
He will get in.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe not this time, but
maybe.
Yeah. I don't. But I do hope. I mean, Dire Straits is one of those bands, like you said. It's such a shame. Internationally, they're huge. In the United States, you know, in the 80s when they had Money for Nothing, their Brothers in Arms album was one of the biggest selling albums of all time. And sadly, Mark Knopfler, who is their guitarist and lead singer, you know, they broke up. They put out another album after that called On Every Street, and they toured. And then they broke up in the late 80s, early 90s, and they never got back together. And he continues to tour. And it's such a shame because there is so much amazing music by Dire Straits, more than Sultans of Swing and more than Money for Nothing and more than, you know, Walk of Life. And it's just sad that it's not being played and so many people don't even know that band because now there's nowhere to hear it on the radio. And they're really one of the great bands of all time, musician-wise as well as just innovative music. But, you know, Mark Knopfler doesn't want to get together with those guys and play those songs anymore. And that's just a shame because there's a great catalog of music that is just is just fading away. I think the Eurythmics have a good chance. Annie Lennox is one of the best singers of all time in terms of rock music. Got a great voice, great persona with the hair, you know, the orange hair back in the 80s. And Dave Stewart, who was the other part of Eurythmics, is also a very popular musician and kind of viewed as an innovator. What was great about them is that they really did mesh kind of the synthesizer music with rock and roll. It wasn't just pure synthesizer kind of 80s music. So they have a chance. All the bands that you named, I think have a chance. It'll be interesting because, you know, up until from now until December 5th, the fans have a chance to go on. You go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame website and you could vote. And it'll be interesting to see who the fans vote for. The Moody Blues are a band that a lot of classic rock people have been saying should get in, and they were very popular and they were innovative for their time. So we'll see. They did, you know, combine a lot of the orchestration and a lot of the progressive rock. A lot of those kind of bands have been getting in. But here's so we'll see. I would agree with most of what you're saying. The only one I would mention is Sister, as I said, Rosetta Tharpe. I don't think it's time for Chaka Khan or Judas Priest. It's a little too early. The Cars, once again, were a key band in America for sort of blending one of the first new wave bands with rock as well. You know, they were that first album of The Cars is a classic. Almost every song on that The Cars' first album is almost a greatest hits album. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But here's my biggest question. So you say LL Cool J, and this is where there's been a lot of controversy over the last several years, especially with the popularity of hip-hop and rap, and especially with the popularity of the 80s with a lot of the dance kind of people, like your Madonnas or your Janet Jacksons and people like that. You know, NWA just got in last year, and it was very controversial. I think and I think that Run DMC is in, and there's been a lot of talk about should hip-hop and rap bands and even like pop people like Britney Spears or people like that, should they Should they get in? And it's a legitimate question because you can say, well, there are, you know, parts of rock involved, but the other side of the coin is, you know, football players are not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And so maybe there should be a Hip Hop Hall of Fame, and maybe there should be a Pop Music Hall of Fame, and maybe they have to change the name of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to the Pop or the Music Hall of Fame. And then there isn't that controversy. That because if you're talking about rock and roll, then if there's a Hip Hop Hall of Fame, is the Who going to be in there? I don't think so. So why should it be the other way around?
Yes, and I understand where you're coming from. But I think the sports analogy is a hard one to make here because music is, like, you know, as you know, there are different musical genres are influenced by other musical genres. And so it's not as, like, clear a line. When NWA was inducted and Gene Simmons was sounding off, like, every other day about it, you know, Ice Cube basically said, rock and roll is not an instrument. It's not even a style of music. It's a spirit. And it's about not conforming, and it's about, you know, creating your own path in music. And if that's rock and roll, then that's us. And I do see a bit of what he's trying to say. And I also think at the time, because there was some controversy about NWA being inducted. And I get when people say, like, okay, well, when Led Zeppelin gets inducted into the Hip Hop Hall of Fame or the Rap Hall of Fame, then let's talk, which I think is what the point Gene Simmons was trying to make. But the guy from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame said, you know, rock and roll takes a lot of its early influences from all different types of music, you know, jazz, gospel, you know, blues, there's like funk, there's soul and psychedelic rock, and hip hop is a part of that story. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it's easier to see how they want to be more inclusive.
Yeah, and that's what they're definitely trying to look at. So it'll be interesting to see because LL Cool J is certainly one of the more popular hip hop and rap artists. And like I said, they've already let those folks in. It'll be very interesting to see what happens when Justin Timberlake comes up because that's another, because he's very popular. He's going to be playing at the Super Bowl this year. But once again, does he classify it as rock? I just don't know. But we shall see.
You know, maybe you're right, and maybe someday they'll kind of change it and it'll become like the music Hall of Fame. Although I don't know if that sounds as interesting or
right, exactly.
But you know, we'll see.
Well, we shall see when the nominees come out. I believe it's later in this year or early next year, and then they usually make the induction sometime in April. So we will find out to see just how well you chose some of your favorites there and to see if they got in. Thank you so much for joining me today, Emily. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Jim.
All right. And Jasmine, hit that music. And that is a wrap on episode 77 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, a new episode. So click on and enjoy whatever this is every Monday. WGNplus.com. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This is Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.